Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we speak with Dane Wigington with Geoengineering Watch to report on more breaking news in this area. We also speak with Gigi Bowman, Senate candidate for District 5 in Long Island, about GMOs, Agenda 21, and geoengineering. What is UN Agenda 21? We've had several shows on this topic. Let's listen to a brief segment from a past show with Rosa Corey, a forensic real estate appraiser and author of the book Behind the Green Mask.
The thing about Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, is that it's a blueprint. It is the action plan to inventory and control all water, all land, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all energy, all means of production, all information, and all human beings in the world. It is an inventory and control plan. Of course, everyone knows that it was. It's a real thing. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not Area 51 or Catch 22. It was signed on to by George H.W. Bush, along with 178 other national leaders around the world, in 1992 at the United Nations Earth Summit. And it is it's a soft law. And it came into the United States. Of course, it was Clinton created the President's Council on Sustainable Development later when he was elected in late 92 and then came into office in 93. Mm-hmm. By June of 93, he had created the President's Council on Sustainable Development, and that was solely purposed with implementing United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, in the United States. And it's not that it's filtering in to your city or your county or your state right now. It is fully entrenched all across the United States right now.
That's what I wanted to ask you also is, for somebody living in a small town, what does Agenda 21 look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll see it in many different ways. You'll see it as a scenic byway, for instance. You'll see it as your town 2025, our city, our vision, our future. You'll see it as a land use plan. You'll see it as a general plan. Your master plan is changing. You'll see it as smart growth, transportation tax dollars, and property tax dollars used to supplement high-density housing in the center of your city. You'll see areas of your city rezoned to mixed use or transit village without your knowledge. If you own property in those areas and you go to do something with your property, you'll find that you aren't able to do what you thought you could with it. It's not what it was zoned for before. In fact, the use has changed. And this is something, it's a stealth plan, but it operates in plain sight. And it definitely depends on people not being aware that it's happening. But those days are over, and we are definitely aware, and we're doing everything we can to stop it.
I wondered about that, and you have quite a fascinating story of how you became aware of the United Nations Agenda 21 in your book, Behind the Green Mask. And our guest is Rosa Corey. Rosa, can you tell listeners how you became aware of this?
Yeah, well, first I want to say, you know, a lot of times people hear about this. They're thinking that, you know, it's kind of a conservative, maybe a right-wing thing. It's not. It's a nonpartisan issue. I am a Democrat and have been since 1974. I'm a commercial real estate appraiser. I was a district branch chief for the Department of Transportation in California for 30 years, and I'm an expert witness, litigation support person. So, of course, my work involves land use and land value. And besides that, personally, I've been a political activist, active in gay rights, pro-choice, anti-war. And during that time that I was being kind of made aware of something happening in land use. It seemed like there was a planning revolution going on, because when I went into planning departments to find out what people could do with their properties so I could value it, it looked like there wasn't really anything that people could do by right, and that was over the last 10 years. And at that same, during that period, I was elected to a Citizens Oversight Committee for a project or a committee for a huge redevelopment project in my town. Mm-hmm. And when I became involved with, you know, sitting on that committee, I found that it was a fraudulent project. It was corrupt. And being, you know, as a whistleblower, I was marginalized, attacked, unbelievable, you know, kind of people coming out of the woodwork to malign and try to embarrass me, try to get me to lose my job. And what the thing that shocked me mainly about it was that these were people that I would have expected to make common cause with, people that I thought would have been my allies. So
sorry to laugh, but it is such a story, listeners. In her book, Behind the Green Mask, it's really told in detail. And Rosa Corey, our guest here, is just summarizing the story. And I wanted to just even plug in for a second that the did you find out even then where the money was coming from to fund this redevelopment plan?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, because redevelopment, and in some areas it's called urban renewal, but it is it's used, they use your property tax dollars to fund smart growth. And smart growth is the preferred development style for United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. And it's not just a development style, it's actually an ideology. And when I started, you know, when I looked at who was attacking me, and it was so interesting, because it was environmental groups, people on the left like myself, democratic groups, unions, and when I was, you know, so I put all that together, and then when I did my research, I found that there was something behind it, and that was United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development.
And there are articles out there that talk about how people are overreacting and they are making it a partisan issue. There was an article talking about people resisting Agenda 21 a few months ago, and in it, a community development manager from Oklahoma was quoted as saying, "I can understand how people in some cases may be fearful of government, but where it loses steam is they give cities and government a little too much credit. We certainly don't have the money or political will to hurt or harm or take private property."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lie, actually. And you're going to see a lot of that, because this, you know, this is what it looks like in your town. It's primarily a land use plan. And it has been backed and pushed and funded by the American Planning Association. And the American Planning Association just put out a 12-week-long boot camp for planners to re-educate them in how to deal with people like me who are telling the truth about what's going on. And so it sounds to me like this person has attended that 12-week-long boot camp, where they were told to inoculate elected officials, to push the concept that planning is essential for economic recovery and jobs, and to say that anyone who would point out that this is all related to basically a corporatocracy, totalitarian takeover is sort of a tinfoil hat. And, you know, the fact that, I mean, I've been accused of having a, fundamental fear of government, which is ridiculous, considering I spent my entire career working for a government agency. So I think that, you know, when you're talking about a disinformation campaign, a propaganda campaign, you'll find that they'll just pull out all the stops to attack individuals rather than deal with the issues. And that's something that we need to point out and stop. This is really a plan to take away private property rights. And, you know, I want to remind people that we are our own private property. Our most important private property is our bodies. And this is a plan that actually takes away your personal sovereignty and the sovereignty of our country. And, you know, I'm telling you, I'm a liberal Democrat. And this is, you know, this is an issue for Democrats as well. We own property. We have, you know, our intellectual property, our bodies. And when you're looking at issues like smart meters and that which is part of Agenda 21, Sustainable Development.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at the 1%. This is a corporatocracy takeover, a corporate takeover, global governance.
Mm-hmm.
Food independence, that's another thing that you're going to see. This is part of it, to create total dependence on government. Banks, bank manipulations, this is a bank plan. This is a plan to sink your economy and create total poverty in the United States.
That was Rosa Khoury explaining UN Agenda 21. Gigi Bowman joins us today to discuss her work bringing awareness to the topics of geoengineering, genetically modified food, bad legislation, and much more. She's running for Senate in District 5 in Long Island and is a co-organizer of the Save Long Island Forum that's coming up in January. Gigi, welcome to Another News.
Hi.
Could you start off by telling listeners a bit about yourself?
I'm an activist who's been protesting for years about different issues, and I run an organization called Save Long Island. And what we do is we try to awaken people to the issues that are affecting us. And once a month, we show films to just, you know, educate people about certain things like smart meters or big pharma, fracking, just different issues that are affecting us somehow. So this is how we started to just help to awaken people. And we're now having an event called Save Long Island Forum, and we're going to be having speakers about all of these issues that we've talked about for years. So that's basically where I am. And also, as an activist, I'm running for a New York State Senate at the moment, and I'm running on the platform of issues that affect us.
And these are the issues such as Agenda 21,
Agenda 21, yes, mm-hmm. Common Core Education, GMO food, chemtrails, also known as geoengineering. There are so many things hitting at small angles, and they're really all connected. So once you start finding out about one of them, you'll realize that it's basically corporatism, and it's all connected, and, you know, we have to fight back. So the only way to fight back is to know what's going on.
Is there any strategy in place to start to dismantle these systems locally?
Well, that's the reason I'm running for office. I mean, we do have some tools available to us that recently came about that we've learned about, like nullification. Nullification is basically repealing federal laws in your own states, 10th Amendment. And in order to do that, you need to have legislators that will work with the people in order to get this done. You know, they need to be like a bridge between the people and the government. And if we don't have legislators that want to, you know, do things like repeal the NDAA or repeal industrial hemp laws, then you won't be able to do this. So nullification is a tool. There's also jury nullification, which people can do on their own, which is basically going to jury. You know, when you get a letter in the mail, so you have to, you know, go to jury duty, and a lot of people go, oh, I don't want to do that. We should all realize that that's an important thing, and we should start doing that, because we can overturn laws in that way. If we see somebody is getting arrested for something ridiculous, we can, you know, make our jury members realize that there's no victim, there's no real crime, and we have to stop arresting people for things like smoking one marijuana joint. You know, it's gotten really bad. We have too many people incarcerated for ridiculous laws, so it's time for us as people to fight back, and we do have tools.
Yes, especially in New York State.
People have gone to jail for 20 years for having, you know, equivalent of 5 joints in their pocketbook or something. You know, I mean, it's out of hand, and it's expensive. We can't afford it anymore. We can't afford to incarcerate people for victimless crimes, and we really need to start from the beginning, it seems like. We need to really make the government less intrusive in our lives in so many ways.
But as far as legislation, Gigi, where do you stand with legislation that's being enacted right now in New York State?
All right, well, in New York State, we have things like Common Core Education. I think it's in 38 states now. And we do have one legislator on Long Island, Al Graff, who has made a bill to stop Common Core Education in New York State. There's a lot of parents out there who are really upset about what's happening. It's very complicated. It's sort of like Agenda 21 coming, you know, into our school system. and they're using this educational system to data mine our kids, and it's all about testing now. It's not really about, you know, we used to have a lot more creativity. Teachers had a lot more choice in what they were teaching. Now it's just so rigid in rules, and it's putting a lot of pressure on kids at a very young age. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to work, but it seems to be that this is a whole new corporatist educational system being run by a corporation known as Pearson, who used to make books. Now they've overridden the whole entire school system, and it's very complicated what they're doing, but it's really upsetting so many parents out there. So they're finding that. A lot of parents who didn't know about what's going on have really started paying attention to what's going on in the government now because of Common Core education. So that's one thing that's happening. Another thing we have going on, just for instance, which is also connected to schooling, is there's a bill in New York State to make Gardasil vaccine mandatory without parental consent. And these are the kind of laws that I can't even believe that they write up bills like this, that they want to do this sort of thing. I mean, they're trying to separate the parent from the child, it seems. How can you trust that you're going to send your child to school and you're not going to come home and have been vaccinated without your consent? I can't believe they want to pass laws like this. So we have to just keep an eye on all these laws, because sometimes they just pass them. People don't even know what happened, you know? So I hope to get in office and either repeal laws like this that actually get in without people knowing, or, you know, just, I don't want to make any new laws. We have enough. We have to stop with these nanny laws. And the state is just getting out of hand with the amount of laws that we have.
You're looking at Agenda 21, and which to me is an umbrella. Underneath is the geoengineering, the controlling
right.
of weather, resources in the atmosphere, things like that. Yet there's multiple agendas with that in particular, where that material is raining down on the surface of our environment. And then you have smart meters, which is also under the umbrella of Agenda 21.
Exactly.
And that is making its way across the United States in many forms. And recently, there were two women in Chicago who fought back against smart meters. If you're, do you know?
I
what
remember.
I'm talking
about? Yes, and they arrested.
They got arrested, and since then, you hear story after story about the dangers of the wireless radiation involved
right.
with these, and people are getting charged more by utility companies once a smart meter is installed. And now utility companies are actually breaking in to homes and property to rip out analog meters and install digital.
Yeah, without permission. They're just invading our, you know, liberty. And just they're just saying, I'm sorry, you have no choice. It's out of hand. It really is. When's it going to stop? And it's all connected,
and
whether it be geoengineering or smart meters or Common Core education,
and
GMO food.
And people do have a choice. Can you explain how people do have a choice?
Well, they don't have a choice with smart meters. They're going to install these, and they've actually gone so far as to say, if you don't allow these on your home, we're going to turn off your electric. There's no choice there, you know? I mean, unless you want to start living your life without electric, this is not a choice. So the problem is that most people don't even know about smart meters. They don't even know if they're being installed on their homes. They don't even know that they exist. So it's up to people like you and me to start educating people and saying, this is coming. Just say no. Don't allow this. I mean, if enough people say no, how are they going to get away with doing it? Are they going to arrest all of us? You know, they can't. But by awakening people and educating people, this is how we will change the laws and the rules that they're, you know, putting on us. We can't fight back if we don't know what's going on. Chemtrails and geoengineering. Most people don't know what that is these days, you know. We have to be activists and go out there and hold up signs like we've done and awaken people.
That's what this event is that's coming up here
yes.
in January. Can you tell listeners what this is?
Okay, it's called the Save Long Island Forum. It's 3 days. I'll tell you about each day. On Friday night, we're having a debate between two economists that is a dinner and a debate. And the economists are Bill Still, who still believes in a somewhat fiat currency, And then we have Robert Murphy, who is an Austrian economist. This might be a little over the heads of some people who aren't into economics, but it's definitely going to teach you about what is going on in our country with our economy, the Federal Reserve. A lot of people, you know, had to go through a housing, you know, loss because of what went on in the housing market. You know, we had a bubble that burst and people are in foreclosure all over the place. So we'll learn a little bit about why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really very well versed on economics itself, so I'm not the best one to explain this, but that's why we go to an event like this and we'll learn how to deal with these things, you know, whether it be that we have to start, you know, using alternative currency, et cetera. So you'll learn about that on Friday night. On Saturday, it's the big day. We have 15 different speakers about 15 different issues, everything from fracking to alternative health. We have Media Benjamin talking about drone warfare. We have Charlotte Eisenbeit, who wrote the book The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. She'll be speaking about Common Core education. We have G. Edward Griffin, who is an icon in the Liberty Movement, and he wrote the book Creature from Jekyll Island. He is well-versed on many different issues, and we're having him speak about Agenda 21. If you go to our website, SaveLongIslandForum.com, mm-hmm. you can see the list of all of our speakers. We have a woman who made a book about industrial hemp, and it's an illegal thing in our country, industrial hemp, but yet if it were repealed and made legal, we'd be able to use industrial hemp to for health issues, for burning for fuel, for building homes. It's an amazing weed that our founding fathers used back in 200 years ago, and it became illegal and also in 1913 because of competition with people like Hearst, who owned the paper company. And if we repealed hemp in this country, we'd have jobs again. We would have production, manufacturing. So that's an important thing for people to learn about. We need to fight and overturn that. It's been overturned and repealed in Kentucky, and I think it might have been New Hampshire recently. So there's a lot of different things for different people. And I just, if you go to the website, you'll see that we need to learn about issues we might not really know that are happening, and you'll be able to connect the dots once you sit down and listen to all these people. On Sunday, we actually have a 3-hour Q&A with all the speakers again, but you'll be able to ask them as many questions as you want, and that's a breakfast. So I hope that people take advantage of it and bring a friend, come down, educate ourselves. Otherwise, what are we going to do? We can't just sit here and think things are going to remain the same. As you see, they're not remaining the same. We can't even grow food right now. I mean, people are making gardens in their backyards because of GMO food, which if you don't know about that, we're going to have a speaker for that too. But, you know, what's the point of growing a garden in your backyard if raining down on your garden is, you know, aluminum and barium from the sky? It's counterproductive. We really have to figure out what we're going to do here. The only thing to do is just have it stopped.
This event here is on January 17th through January 19th, 2014,
right,
at the Sheraton Long Island Hotel.
Right.
There's a website, SaveLongIslandForum.com, where you can get more information on that. Gigi, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate this update, and we'll be talking more about the Save Long Island Forum as we get closer to that date in January 17th.
Needed. We need to wake up and just find out how we can fight back.
Is returning guest Dane Wigington to discuss updates on the topic of geoengineering. Remember, a few weeks ago, past guest Dr. John Hall observed that some of his patients who work outside all day test zero for vitamin D. How is this possible? He believes it's because of the aerosol operations and that these particulates are engineered to deliberately prevent the spectrum of sunlight needed for human cells to manufacture vitamin D. these are some of the effects of the ongoing aerosol operations. Other effects include extreme drought, flooding, depleted ozone. That's allowing an increase of UVB radiation to come through. We talk about weather warfare, airbase locations, and much more. Dane Wigington, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Lots unfolding, and I appreciate your continued willingness to address some of these dire issues associated with geoengineering and other events around the globe.
It's always interesting to speak with you on this material because you are on the forefront of a lot of breaking news and information. Last time we had you on, you were talking about the ultraviolet light that is making its way through to the surface of the Earth, past the ozone layer, and specifically the UVB spectrum. We'll get to that, but I wanted to start with something that we've often talked about on the show with various other guests, and bringing up the question of there are these aerosol planes that are constantly up in the air in various parts of the world, and especially here in the United States, North America, that take off and land at specific areas, specific air bases. We've put a call out to listeners and on New York Skywatch, but we don't really get much feedback. Your operation is much bigger. People are contacting you and telling you where they think these aircraft are landing and taking off. And you mentioned to me Hill Air Force Base is one of those bases. Can you briefly talk about that?
I had an individual contact me from Utah, and he apparently has made it his mission to observe these aircraft that leave in very rapid succession every morning, early in the morning, and return in the afternoon. And these are planes that we believe to be associated with the aerosol operations. They're the right type of aircraft. You know, what he describes makes sense as a disbursement hub for such weather modification programs. And, you know, all this stuff's going on in plain sight. I mean, it's really quite in your face if people are just not putting the blinders up, you know, with this. And now and people ask, well, who's retrofitting all these aircraft and so forth? And we believe it's possible that George Air Force Base in Southern California in Atlanta is one such example. And because we know that they're doing some kind of retrofit on decommissioned passenger planes there, there's a vast amount of aircraft lined up outside these facilities. And you know, what a lot of people claim, Jeff, or they try to go to this defense that, well, they might believe that what they see in the sky is spray if we could just show them who's doing it or who's changing the aircraft over. And I would argue at this point, although we're trying to connect those dots, that's about the same as, you know, if you see somebody get shot in the street and somebody standing over him with a gun saying, well, you might believe that was actually a murder if we could tell them who made the gun. That doesn't really make much sense.
Going back to the analogy, Dane, of the person getting shot in the street and they don't believe it because they don't know who made the gun.
Exactly.
I understand what you're saying there, but that's in the context of trying to convince somebody who doesn't really believe it's happening, and then you show them incredible evidence of these planes taking off, being loaded with the material to the payload to deliver this aerosol in the upper atmosphere. That's another category of people. There are people like us who know what's been going on, but to have that type of evidence presented is really, really critical and important, I suspect.
It's important, but it doesn't change the fact that there's been a murder in that case.
I mean, agreed.
It doesn't negate the fact that there, you know, we clearly see a crime's been committed, and yes, we try to fill in those dots, absolutely.
Agreed. But in those dots, I just want to say, I looked online, and Hill Air Force Base, you can look in Google Maps, listeners, just check it out right now if you like. You'll notice that there are railroad infrastructure and warehousing near that Air Force Base, which may imply that you need that material to deliver through rail into those planes. These are details to begin to look at and start to connect the dots and then understand who then is involved. And then when you begin to pinpoint these particular companies and corporations, military personnel, names, companies, things like that, you start to get closer to maybe trying to stop or make a difference or change policy. We're speaking with Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org. We'll be right back after this break. Just tuning in. Our guest is Dane Wigington. He's bringing us up to date on some of the damaging effects of these ongoing aerosol operations.
Aircraft traffic, for example, over our region, when the spraying operations are occurring, it's tenfold, minimum tenfold, what we have on days when these aircraft operations aren't occurring. And we have huge figures, again, like global dimming, that 22% of the sun's direct rays aren't reaching the surface of the planet today. Shouldn't that raise a hell of a question for people? How much effort would it take to block 22% of the sun around the entire planet? So, and we have glaring examples of the implications of geoengineering, of the effects of geoengineering, but we have every country talking about it. We have Russia right now, as of 2 days ago, issued a giant article asking the IPCC to address geoengineering. I think it's going to be hard to hide this much longer for that very reason. I mean, the scope and scale of these programs are so huge, Jeff, so many people involved, so many companies, so much logistics. I don't think, even with all their NSA surveillance and all their monitoring of everything, which certainly is they're doing for the reason of trying to keep programs like this silent. I mean, that's one of the reasons they monitor everybody, every email. And that's why people are afraid to step forward. Why wouldn't they be? I mean, look at Snowden. Julian Assange. I mean, anybody who opens their mouth is crucified. So
I want to go back to the country of Russia asking the IPCC to factor in geoengineering operations into their calculations. In 2007, I put together a documentary saying, how can all this data on global warming be brought forward as a crisis without factoring in these aerosol operations? How can you even begin to present this data without calculating in hundreds and hundreds of aircraft designed to spray aerosol in the upper atmosphere that is changing the weather?
Rationally, you can't. I mean, rationally, you can't possibly call something legitimate when it ignores the largest single factor of all. The headline from The Guardian is this: Russia urges UN climate report to include geoengineering. The subtitle: the Russian government is asking for planet hacking to be included in the climate science report. Leaked documents show. We will be posting this article with comments probably today on geoengineeringwatch.org. This is important that Russia is bringing this statement to the front of media right now, because so many try to marginalize the whole concept of geoengineering as being some fringe issue. It's not fringe. I mean, there's an absolute Mount Everest of science behind this, but the academic community, for obvious reasons, has been reluctant, at least to date, to admit to this elephant in the room. Let's hope that changes. But what your point is extremely valid, Jeff. How can you possibly give any kind of credible report on the state of the climate when you ignore the single biggest disruptive factor of all, massive global geoengineering programs?
Yes, Dane, you said it much better than I did. That's exactly it. We often see these stories and reports that the Arctic polar ice cap is increasing, or the planet is getting cooler. Dane, can you address both of those stories that come out in the mainstream media and what's really going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, Jeff, and we are seeing a barrage of that kind of data in the last couple of weeks, and there's a reason for the timing on that. That's because the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the largest scientific panel ever created on any subject in human history, is issuing their report in, I think, the 27th or 29th of September. Carries huge weight. So this push of articles trying to claim the planet is cooling is in order to try to affect that report and make them downplay their predictions. Now, although there are a great many people that are jumping up and down and claiming the planet is cooling, there is not a single shred of data to support that there is any cooling at all. In fact, if you get down to the nuts and bolts of these articles that claim this, what they really say is that not that the planet is cooling, but that the rate of warming has slowed. But even when one looks at that, let's correlate a couple of dates here, Jeff. 1998 was the warmest year ever recorded. Data indicates that geoengineering programs were completely ramped up immediately following. Governments obviously made a decision. They felt they had to do something. So the 15-year time window, when all these articles claim the rate of warming has slowed, that is the exact time window under which it looks like geoengineering has been fully deployed. Now, when you spray toxic particulates, reflective particulates, to block, 22% or more of the sun, one would expect that to affect the climate system, and indeed it looks like it has, with great consequence. But for people who are against geoengineering, who are some of the very people who are claiming the planet is now cooling, and they also, just like the climate scientists, are not acknowledging geoengineering's effect on the system, it's just as ludicrous from either side, for either party, to not recognize the elephant in the room that's affecting the whole equation. And of the last 15 years, 10 of those years were the warmest years ever recorded. We've had 342 consecutive months of above normal global temperatures. The planet is not cooling, no one will find any data to say that it is. And in the case of the poles, they're referring to Arctic ice extent, which is surface area. There's a slush of ice on the surface, and they call that an ice pack, when the ice mass is about 19% of what it was 30 years ago. That's the bottom line. That's what people aren't talking about. So anyway, bottom line, and from both sides of the equation, Jeff, whether you're a climate scientist that's putting out data but not acknowledging the geoengineering effect, or you're an anti-geoengineering activist and you're making a bunch of claims and not acknowledging geoengineering's effect, either side is wrong.
When you say mass of ice, you're talking about the volume of the ice pack itself.
Correct.
Okay. With the slush pack, is that a result of the ice nucleation?
Yes, and also whether it was any natural phenomenon or a manipulated phenomenon, there was three cyclones over the Arctic this year, which tended to spread that ice out over the surface. Of course, the mass went down sharply, but it spread out the slush, if you will, and that's what they call an ice pack now, even though it's got open water scattered all throughout it. And again, the bottom line, the mass being the volume, 19% of what it was 30 years ago, and that's hardly an increasing ice, and it's actually record low this year. The mass is at a record low, even lower than last year. But the people making these claims about cooling are not mentioning that part. And again, what's frustrating is some of the very people who are very actively fighting geoengineering are helping the geoengineers to sell geoengineering by claiming now the planet is cooler. That's exactly what the geoengineers would want them to say, even though that's not true. That's what the geoengineers would want them to say, because that helps the geoengineers go to other countries, other leaders, and say, hey, look, our programs are working. Yeah, they're killing the planet in the process, but they can make these claims, even though those claims are not true. A lot of anti-geoengineering activists are, in fact, helping the geoengineers to sell geoengineering with data that's spun completely.
And anti-geoengineering activists in alternative media, but they're also against the global warming theories that are being presented. And again, you get into this weird place where the disruptive force of geoengineering was not factored in, and that's why it's a lot of these activists are bringing this forward. But even doing so, they actually can create some problems with perception here of what's really going on.
They're definitely muddying the water, Jeff. And again, from either side, when geoengineering is not acknowledged as a massive factor, then no conclusion can be correct. And at this point, there is no credible way to maintain the position that the planet is not warming. Whatever one wants to consider the cause, the planet is warming. But that being said, I think we would all have a much clearer picture if we focused on geoengineering and could bring it to a halt and get that factor out of the equation. We would know what the hell's going on. I think it would be in all of our best interest to focus primarily on that and not do exactly what the power structure would want us to do, to divide the house with an argument as to what's going on with the climate, and certainly not to jump up and down and claim the planet is getting colder when there's no data to support that at all, and when that is exactly also what the power structure and the geoengineers would want to see publicized, especially on private news sites and so forth, because that helps them sell geoengineering to governments and leaders around the globe.
But by saying, hey, look, these people are writing about how the Earth is getting cooler, and it's because of us, it's geoengineering.
Yeah, and on the money part, you know, it's certainly we know that they can print whatever they want. I mean, and so when people question, you know, their tax dollars going for this, I think that's all just a grand illusion. I mean, when we know they can print whatever they need, you know, to keep the stock market propped up, to buy government bonds, to run black ops operations, they can print whatever they need. So the whole tax thing and revenue from the people is just a big facade. But the bottom line is, though, again, even though waving this global cooling banner simply helps the geoengineers to sell geoengineering as a cure to those who they need cooperation from other countries and so forth, that's still untrue. The planet is absolutely not cooling. And in that regard, methane, which we've talked about before, 3 months ago, peak atmospheric methane levels were somewhere in the 1800 to 1850 parts per billion range. Recent readings show it almost at 2600 parts per billion. That's in about a three-month period. This is absolutely cataclysmic increase in global methane, which means the walls are closing in, which means that if this escalation rate continues, no amount of geoengineering is going to even begin to hide that. And in fact, again, although the geoengineering can and does create large-scale cooling anomalies, it comes at the cost of a worsened overall warming picture in the long run. So it's cutting off one's nose to spite one's face, but a lot of power and money are gained off of this. So we can't expect them to stop until they're made to stop. And again, the more they do it, the more they try to hide the real situation, the worse they're making it for all of us in a very real and very immediate sense.
Dane, your website, geoengineeringwatch.org, is an important hub for a lot of listeners to get in contact with you and to share more information. And you were telling me recently about something going on in South Africa. Can you explain what's happening there?
We've been contacted by people from South Africa, very articulate individuals, that describe some pretty horrific circumstances. They said the spraying is so prolific that it's like a fog. They describe it like a fog, and a tremendous amount of respiratory ailments, even respiratory mortality. They also describe farmers that are either being droughted off their land, or they described a lot of farmer suicide happening in South Africa now. Now, that's pretty suspect when you have global powers, U.S., China in particular, trying to acquire agricultural land. And the paradox between the U.S. and China, U.S. usually tries to acquire agricultural land or resources, whatever the resources are, at the point of a gun, where China has gone at it in a completely different manner, trying to bring in infrastructure to actually work with the people. So it's hard to tell who's doing what there, but if we look back, Jeff, several decades and the amount of drought that Africans have been subjected to, and then the boots on the ground from the U.S. that end up there, permitted in those places, has geoengineering been used as a hammer for decades to drought out countries and make them allow a U.S. presence there? I mean, is this a part of the mechanism? It sure seems that that dot would connect.
It's interesting you bring that up, because Syria had severe drought and agriculture problems as a result. And what I've heard as separating Syria into several different parts and weakening it as a nation state. But yes, as you mentioned, I suspected it would have been possible for geoengineering to create that drought to destabilize the populations. As we know, these are stated goals, and owning the weather by 2025 in the Air Force white paper study on geoengineering.
Many people would try to claim that it's insane to think that governments would be using these type of weapons. And as we talked off the air, I believe it's utterly insane to think that they're not using these weapons. We know they have the capability. We know they've been engaged in weather modification for 60 plus years. We've had, in relation to Syria and the drought created there, we've had Ahmadinejad on the, he's been on the floor of the UN twice, making the quite substantiated claim that Iran is being droughted out by these weather modification programs. Of course, our media doesn't cover it, so nobody hears that he did this. But Why would we not think this? And we have other examples. Pakistan, when they showed resistance to U.S. policy, almost immediately found 20% of their country underwater. Same in Thailand. When Thailand refused a base that appears to have been for weather modification, they refused that base, and they found their country completely devastated with floods as well. So to think that weather warfare is not occurring right now, I think, is a very naive notion.
And like you pointed out, the ubiquitous spying in our environment right now is connected to all of this secret weather warfare on some level. Now, let's turn our attention, Dane, to Fukushima, the melting down of those reactors and the radiation that is flowing across the Pacific Ocean. What have you learned lately about the migration of that radioactive material?
Well, I think there's actually three reactors that are in dire trouble, and it looks like this might be more or less a nuclear volcano for God knows how long into the future. And as that spews into the atmosphere, then you have the migration of those materials are making their way further east toward us, and as the Pacific is blanket sprayed, and it is, and we post satellite images of the blanket aerosol spraying over the Pacific, which is part of the geoengineering operations. We post satellite images of that very consistently on geoengineeringwatch.org. So what this does is it thwarts the hydrological cycle. It tends, obviously, to keep those nuclear materials, those radioactive materials, migrating much more effectively toward the west instead of raining out over the oceans. Not that that's great, but it's better than it raining down on us. And then, in theory, global powers could drop that more radioactive material anywhere they want. Because if they've, depending on the particulate size they use, Jeff, smaller particulates tend to diminish and disperse the rainfall and keep it migrating, which would migrate these particulates also. And then some types of materials, when exposed to RF frequency, like HARP, tends to make those materials coagulate to form bigger condensation nuclei, which then causes the rain to fall wherever they choose, which then would cause that material to fall wherever they choose. So, you know, in a sense, they could even use that as a weapon to slowly but surely contaminate populations in any region they chose. You know, this is that there's nothing that's not being negatively, horrifically affected and really used as a weapon at this point, including the radiation from Fukushima.
Meanwhile, which is hard to really conceive, is the Tokyo has been, has it been chosen as a location for the Olympics? Meanwhile, a location has been confirmed as for the Olympics in Tokyo. What's going on there?
You know, it's hard to say, but it appears that by making such maneuvers, it's an attempt to try to gloss over the magnitude of the Fukushima issue, because, you know, for some people they think, oh, well, they wouldn't have put the Olympics there if it wasn't all fine. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It's not fine. But in many people's eyes, Jeff, I think that they look at it in that manner, that, you know, the government wouldn't do this if it wasn't handled. And so it's sort of a way to help hide the problem, I think. But I believe as that date comes, as the event comes closer, I think there's going to be huge controversy over this, huge, because Fukushima's not going anywhere. It's not going away. In fact, it appears to be getting more dire by the day.
Fukushima, the topic of this points to alternative sources of energy. It's something that we often talk about on the show a lot. And nuclear energy is known as a hot fusion to a lot of scientists. We've talked about cold fusion, which is not really, that's a misnomer in itself, the word cold. It's warm. It's room temperature fusion, actually. There are people working on warm fusion right now, and I've heard that it's 10 years or more away. But this is after it's been pushed aside and discredited way back when Pons and Fleshman in Utah began to bring cold fusion into the mainstream media. It does bring up this topic front and center of alternative energy, and specifically warm fusion.
I mean, whatever other alternative sources of energy that may have been suppressed or that we may eventually have access to, back to geoengineering, if these programs are not halted, none of that will matter, because the planet will be unable to support life. And on the UV issue, which we talked about a little off the air, that issue by itself is a potential life-ending scenario on planet Earth. No ozone layer, no terrestrial life. You'd only have life in some of the deeper realms of the oceans. And, you know, the readings we're getting right now, which appear to be escalating in even the last 3 months, we're seeing UVB consistently at about 1,200, minimally, 1,200% higher than what has been disclosed, and that's climbing. So all these other potential technological breakthroughs won't mean anything if our current course is not altered. And then we have the methane release on top of that, also by itself, a potentially life-ending scenario on planet Earth. That situation that we just described is getting worse by the day. And even events like Fukushima, what triggered that event? Well, all indications are that the ionosphere heaters were possibly used to help trigger that event. And, you know, if that's the case, and this goes back into a form of weather, climate, or warfare in a manner that it's hard to conceive of, and many people are skeptical that they could cause tectonic plate movement with these frequencies. But in fact, if you look at the data, it's quite plausible and it looks probable. So, you know, back to the same mechanisms we're all trying to bring to light and bring to a halt, those mechanisms appear to, right now, from multiple directions, to be responsible for the fact that we are in the sixth great mass extinction on planet Earth right now. And the major roads lead back to these same programs, HAARP, the ionosphere heaters, geoengineering, which is connected to HAARP, you know, these weapons that are using the planet and nature as weapons at what will ultimately be the cost to all life on Earth.
Dane, brilliant to cycle the discussion back to weaponizing the Earth's natural forces. These are the very weapons that we're speaking about that are in the wrong hands right now and doing greater damage as each day goes by. Can you tell listeners what you're working on now, and how do people get in touch with you?
Can you reach with geoengineeringwatch.org? What we're working on still, Jeff, is to bring these programs to light. And many people ask, you know, well, how do we actually stop them? But I continue to make the argument, we must bring it to light. And I think if we can, these programs will likely stop themselves when one considers the vast majority of people participating have no idea what they're participating in, no idea that these programs are, by the day, ending any chance for a future for themselves, their children. I mean, the situation is very, very immediate. So if we all combined on helping to bring the programs to light, I think so many other of the dominoes would fall into place on their own, Jeff. And again, the gravity of what we face and the immediacy of what we face cannot be overstated. Once you turn these wheels loose, once they're in motion, you can't just turn them off. And the geoengineers make the argument that once they start geoengineering, as if they haven't already, you can never stop because of what's called double collapse scenario, where the climate has been bent so far a certain direction that if you stop geoengineering, the backlash would be so horrific, you know, the consequences would be too cataclysmic to stop. But that is not a supportable argument. We have to stop. If we don't stop, I believe we'll have no chance. And the only chance I believe we do have is if the planet is allowed to respond on its own. The notion that flying thousands of jets around the sky every day, dumping toxic materials and then nuking the atmosphere with radio frequencies, the notion that that could do anything but harm is a very, very insane notion, to say the least.
Yeah, and Dane, thank you for just bringing up the point that in the mainstream media and other sources point out that geoengineering is not happening yet, and it's just in a proposal stage. Meanwhile, as many listeners know, many listeners to this show and to the station know that there is a full-on aerosol operation, weather control scenario moving in full force. A lot of listeners do see these lines in the sky and the aerosol operations, one aspect of the larger operation. If listeners have information about air bases that these aircraft are landing and taking off from, would you want them to contact you, Dane?
Yes, and keep in mind that we need something to go on, and I mean something actually tangible. And, you know, if people mail us a message, you know, I'd be happy to give my own mailing address if they have something they want to mail to me that they don't want to go off over the internet. And yes, I would definitely want to hear anything that can help us connect the dots, because we don't have a lot of time, Jeff. I mean, people still, even with this kind of discussion, think that maybe we're discussing scenarios that will play out in centuries or decades. It's playing out right now. It's playing out right now. And this is a non-linear equation. I cannot stress that enough. This equation is exponentially increasing momentum by the day, and the walls are closing in from so many different directions that, as I've mentioned in other disseminations, we are on track for Venus syndrome, quite literally. If we don't change course immediately, we have no chance. That's my conclusion. And that being said, people should consider that we should all want to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Nobody is guaranteed a result. You know, we can't have a guaranteed outcome if we all pull together on this. But what's our alternative? I mean, if we're standing on the end of the plank, do we just fall off the end, or do we turn around and start to scream and fight? And right now, again, if we could bring geoengineering to light and to a halt, in spite of all the other events going on in the planet, I know there's a great many, from Syria to Fukushima to, you know, 9/11, but if we could expose this issue and people of every political stripe knew that they were expendable, that they were part of this grand and lethal experiment without their knowledge or consent, that would be a quantum leap in the right direction to unite people and to join them together in a common cause, and a cause that is quite literally the single greatest threat to life on Earth, short of nuclear catastrophe. So I hope people examine their philosophy and decide that even without a guarantee of a happy ending on this, that we have no choice but to pull together and face this issue. There is no other choice.
Dane Wigington, thank you again for being on the show and staying with this issue. You're very important to getting this very critical information out properly. Thanks again very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. See you next Monday, 10 p.m.